You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, we are talking about the Champions League. We talk about the semifinal matches. We talk about the upcoming final. We talk about shots that you probably should be putting away. So a lot to look forward to this weekend.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Jake Zivin, the voice of the Portland Timbers, who just won the MLS's back tournament. We talked about that and a lot today on the Cooligans!
What's up, guys? Landon Donovan here, and I got to kick it with the Cooligans today. Keep following, keep listening, keep watching. See you guys soon.
Yeah, baby!
Let's do this.
I can stop anytime I want.
I'll stop when I want to, okay?
I have control of the yeah, baby. The yeah, baby doesn't have control of me.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Cristian Polanco.
Okay, and my name is Alexis Guerreros.
Okay, get ready. Yeah, you know.
Alexis Guantanamera Guerreros, if we're going to do this.
We are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show in the world
ever existed, okay, and also the gulliest soccer show that's ever existed.
Okay, things can be two things, okay, according to our total soccer show friends, you know,
one thing could be multiple things, to quote them directly.
Hello, everyone. Yes, look, a lot to talk about today. Obviously, we have a great guest, Jake Zivin of the voice of the Portland Timbers.
He's great,
and we're going to be, you know, talking about the MLS's back tournament, recapping how everything's going, what to look for, you know, what to look forward to. The Timbers are already playing against the Sounders, so you know, they're going to go into that match a little bit to brag about.
They're going to walk in like, have you heard? I don't know if you've been following the news after you went home from the tournament. I did pretty well, you know?
Exactly. Did you go to Major League Soccer soccer.com?
You know, check out MLS.com. Okay, what do you mean? It's just a bunch of houses.
So we'll talk about that with him in just a moment. But we have to start immediately with the UEFA Champions League, because obviously it has gone to a one game in elimination.
And it's ruined it. Oh, wait, hold on. Those were the big clubs. The big clubs said that into my ear.
Well, I told you to cut that feed off, Alexis.
I don't know why I let them get
you
in.
Got
the
direct Manchester City feed right in your ear.
The money people are saying this was a terrible idea.
Oh, sorry, my pep headset.
Hilarious. Yeah, I got this button that says oil money that into my headphones, and they hate this. You know what's shocking is we're gonna go back to home and away. They may even add a third match, okay, to make sure what's happening right now doesn't happen, because UEFA is probably freaking out. All the big clubs are probably freaking out. It's like, this kind of, not only has it leveled the playing field, but it's sort of upended everything you know about soccer.
Yeah, but there's no real excuse. There's nothing that could have been done to, it doesn't matter how many games would have been played. Barcelona lost by, they might as well, it might as well have been an aggregate score, because Barcelona lost to Bayern Munich 8-2. They scored 8 goals in one game against the FC Barcelona.
Yeah, if you woke up from a coma and someone told you Bayern beat Barca in the Champions League 8-2, you'd say, those were two really rough matches for Barcelona. You know what I mean?
Well, I think we discovered what the issue was with Barcelona. They were in a coma during this game. Yeah. There were 11 men in a coma playing against the German champions.
I like to think it's just 11 men astounded at how good Alphonso Davies is. And they were just like, no, please continue. Yeah.
All of them. Everybody was like, yo, can you believe this kid?
Yo, give him the ball again. He seems to be doing great.
You know, I'll be honest. Right now, I'm just a fan and I'm entertained.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, we all want to swap jerseys with you. So here's a pair of scissors. Cut it up. And you're going to get all our kids.
Yeah. Make it into some sort of Alphonso Davies quilt.
You know what I mean? Can you put this on TikTok? Can we put me on your TikTok, please? I'm shocked at how just lifeless Barca looked. But I'm going to disagree with you. If there was another match, if there was a home match, an away match, if you will, whatever the second one was, mm-hmm. I think Barca makes it competitive. I think there's an opportunity. Barca has high level skilled enough players that Messi would go off. I'm not saying that he would negate the 8-2. That's a rough one to come back from. But dude, I'm telling you, if they could come back the same way they did against PSG, I think there's a chance that they at least make it competitive in a way. Dude, they would be going for blood. You are bad. They got embarrassed.
You are apparently the only one that has a lot of faith in Barcelona.
Messi. Messi.
And we've already seen. So a lot of reports are coming out that Messi wants to leave.
And go where? He makes $1 million a week.
I don't know.
In fact, whoever signs him, immediately investigate.
He would have to take a pay cut, right? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. $400,000 a week is a lot for clubs. He'd have to take a 60% pay cut and still be the most expensive person in that league. Like people are saying Inter Milan. No one in Italy makes that kind of money.
No. I don't know what the future holds for Messi or for Barcelona, but Bayern Munich has to be the favorite to win the Champions League this year. As far as they literally bodied Barcelona. We've been seeing this the last couple of years where defensively they're not outscoring teams, right? They haven't like notoriously been this defensive sort of masterclass every year. They're not Atletico Madrid.
They keep the possession for so long that it doesn't really matter.
Exactly. And they score so much that you just don't even really have any real opportunity to win a game. But Bayern Munich was just so physically just muscled them out of 50-50 balls. Alphonso Davies, we're calling him the best left back in the world. I'm comfortable saying that.
He's been doing it for 6 months.
Exactly. It's just like, really? Okay, I mean, there's so many people that...
It's like a child you bring to a hospital, like and they start doing surgery and they're great at it. And you're like, wait a minute, I think this four-year-old just did heart surgery. And the kid's like, I don't even know what I'm doing, but apparently I'm great at this. It's what it feels like because he's a child still. He's a teenager.
Yeah, it's the plot to Doogie Howser, right?
But let me ask you this. Is he so good at left back that it makes you wonder, is he in the wrong position? You know what I mean?
it's interesting because when we saw him with the Whitecaps and obviously playing as a winger, he had more opportunities to make mistakes, right? Like going one-on-one at people. And now he is... what I'm impressed by is that he's able to do this defensively, right? He's able to stop chances for other teams. But when he does, we saw what he did to Nelson Semedo.
Nelson Semedo's feet are still in that pitch.
He really embarrassed him. And there's something to, especially like late in games where he has this extra drive, this extra energy to have the skill of a forward while he is going up against defenders who really athletically cannot keep up with him.
Him in the other half of the field is dangerous. So I'm almost like, yo, that kid should be a striker, maybe.
I don't know if he's I'm not saying he's in the wrong position, but it would be interesting to see him up front. That's all I'm saying. So
Thierry Henry was a left back at Juventus, and look what he did at Arsenal. So
okay,
maybe we should be Alphonso Davies agents.
Alphonso Davies, the next Thierry Henry. Yeah, we said it.
Yeah, uh-huh. Right here on the cool again. Ah,
all right. Okay, so we officially know who will be in the UEFA Champions League final. It will be between PSG and Bayern Munich.
Yeah,
a big matchup. I think before we talk about that matchup, we should talk about how these teams got here, who they got through.
By playing soccer. Got it. Done. What's next? What's your next question? Question, Christian.
Okay, that's it. We've officially we've beaten soccer. We know that was the final boss. Hooligans is over. Shut it down, everybody.
Shut it down. We did it. now we take over the NBA.
Let's talk real quick about the match between Manchester City and Lyon. right? Yeah. Because everyone, you know, I think the pressure to
bet on Manchester City. I mean, no one picked Lyon. No one. Yeah,
it was a bit of a surprise. Obviously, you know, Lyon, they played incredibly well, and for teams to kind of figure out Manchester City as well as they did, like, it's pretty rare to see that. You don't really see teams in the Premier League do that.
I actually don't even think that happened. That's what happened. I think Manchester City, like, out. I think Pep just out coached himself.
Really?
Yeah. Because why would you start with, like, what did he did he have start with three at the back or four at the back?
I don't remember.
I don't recall. But whatever it is that happened, like, it was just completely opposite. I think it was four at the back. He started with four at the back, and it was just completely.
I wouldn't be able to tell. I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, one, we should probably watch the game. No, we watched it. But I think what you'll first notice is, like, none of this seems like how Manchester City wants to play. And then you get those glimpses, like, right towards the middle, towards the second part of the first half, they start to boss the game. But Lyon just wouldn't break. They were playing essentially with five at the back. And they were like, look, when we get the ball, we're going to try to score as quickly as possible and then hand it back to you. And then we're just going to absorb all this pressure. And they were able to do that.
And Manchester City did have opportunities, at the very least, to tie this game 2-2.
Yeah.
And there was a terrible, memorable miss by Raheem Sterling that is just,
it's never going to go away.
I mean, I think it will. I honestly know. Do.
That's, listen, it's when a bad players, one. What's the one thing players say that they rate Europe higher than playing in MLS or Liga MX or in South America? It's playing in Champions League. This is the thing outside of World Cup. This is the second biggest competition is Champions League. Your team is down 2-1. You're the way. They're the underdog by far. You're the favorite. And yeah. You have... you're literally his foot is close enough to cross the line into the goal.
It was.
I mean, if he's stretched,
I understand what you mean.
You get what I'm saying? Completely
he's not that
open.
Tall, okay.
Completely wide open, and then all of a sudden you miss that.
No excuse. No
excuse.
There's
zero excuse. If I work for Manchester City or I'm his agent, I start to get those like CSI enhanced videos of the ball bouncing off of a very odd piece of grass. Something. You need to come up with an excuse.
We need a valid reason how he could miss. I mean, he's really at the top of the 6-yard box. Pretty much almost inside and hits it over the bar. It's really incredible.
I'm suing the grounds crew. You know what I mean? I'm suing everybody.
Okay. Just everybody in Lisbon is responsible for this.
Yo, the fans in the stands, there were none. You're getting sued for suggesting there were no fans.
Well, what is this court order? I wasn't even at the game.
How am I getting served?
No, man. Look, I'm a fan of Raheem Sterling. I wish it was anyone else who missed that shot. You know what I mean?
Like, because the haters were just like, they're drooling.
Yeah,
right
they're
now.
Just yeah, they're just it's absolutely salivating at the abuse, the opportunity to deliver abuse. But no, look, I hopefully he can move past it. I think this year in general with the Champions League with the long layoff and the single elimination. I think it's going to be a little bit easier to move past it, but that's my opinion. I have no idea how what's going on.
Why I think you're wrong is because the next time he even makes a minor mistake, if there are fans in the stands, the first thing you're going to hear is boos, and you're going to know. The announcer's going to mention it. You're going to know they're referencing that.
But they don't get that far in the Champions League without Raheem Sterling.
Of course not. He's an incredible player.
There was also a bunch of terrible defensive lapses from the
team. Nuance is what you want fans of soccer to now saying, have all of
I mean,
a
look,
sudden.
Even if they would have tied the game, doesn't really mean that they would have won the game.
Right.
But, you know, Raheem, he shouldn't miss that. He knows that, obviously. Everybody knows that.
I think he's got to leave Manchester City.
No,
go to Barca. Why not? They're getting rid of everybody.
We are also PSG played RB Leipzig, and we're absolutely dominant. Leipzig really had no.
They don't have Timo Werner anymore.
Done. Yeah, there was nothing they could really do. Yeah, I mean, I think outside of any tactics, it was really just PSG has so many better players that there was nothing they could really do.
This is clearly PSG's moment. Like, Neymar looks like a completely different person than he did a year ago. I'm so happy for him.
Okay. All right. Look at that. He needs it.
He's got nothing else, right? It's not like he has the money and the looks and the fame, and obviously he's not considered a god in his home country. None of those things.
I mean, he's struggling, right? You know, yeah. We're here to offer that kind of support. That's what
we want to build
about.
Them up. You know what I mean?
So obviously the final Bayern PSG. We have Robert Lewandowski.
Robert Lewandowski.
Oh, I didn't. You didn't laugh at first, so I had to repeat myself.
Something wrong with how I hear you? Because I'm saying Robert Lewandowski.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that Thomas Mueller video, watch it. It is absolutely hilarious.
If you want to know what it's like to be a comedian on a Zoom call, watch that video.
Okay, yeah, we have a lot in common with Thomas Mueller. I never thought we would ever be able to say that.
Nah, it hurt. It hurt my soul. I was like, rewrite the bit, my guy.
So look,
repeat a punchline.
As far as like what team looks sharper in the Champions League, I'm going to have to go with Bayern here, right? I think it's going to be a good matchup and see who's going to sort of make a couple of mistakes, but I think Bayern got this.
Bayern looks, but I don't think anyone's going to stop PSG. And we'd also talked about that maybe Alphonso Davies is he's the best left back in the world. Maybe he's too good to be a left back. You know what I mean? Maybe he should be up front. I think why not do that the final?
In the final, just change up the whole system. Okay. Yo,
first of all, do you think PSG is expecting that? No, they're not preparing for that at all.
No, I think the impressive part, especially in the semifinal against Lyon, was Alphonso Davies is not only obviously we can see that he's great at attacking and he 1v1, but he cleans up Bayern's messes. He's a fixer.
He's a sweeper.
He is very much like there were so many, there were about three or four turnovers that were just brutal, terrible. Just like, is this a Champions League club still? Who's making this decision?
Right.
And then then Alphonso Davies is like, hey, you know what, fam? I know that you're not really up to my level just yet, but like, I'm going to help you out and I'm going to fix.
I'm going to get this for you because you clearly ain't doing this yourself, you know? But okay. I honestly think he makes everybody else just play more relaxed because they're like, who cares?
Yeah,
Fonzie's here. He's going
to clean it up. Energizer Bunny over here is full of energy, okay?
That's like when I used to go eat dinner at my in-laws, right? Like my mother-in-law. Just it's her thing. She's like, leave the plates. I got the plates. You know, it's like her. Okay. If I pick up one of the plates, she's like, put the plate down. I got the plate. So I know. I'm like, I can leave plates wherever I want. You know what I mean? I think that's the same thing that happens.
But the problem is that it doesn't teach you responsibility, Alexis. Okay.
No. But the point is to make sure that I have no responsibilities. That's the goal of my life.
Interesting. Okay. So Alphonso Davies is basically like just a babushka. You know what I mean? He's a
babushka?
He's a grandmother.
Isn't it babushka?
Babushka is another thing, but babushka is the more Yiddish way. It's the same thing, yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's the Yiddish way of saying it?
Yeah, I believe
so. I thought you remixed it. I was like, damn. All right. Okay. All right, Christian Palenko or Palenko.
I've had it butchered many times.
Oh, I'm sure. I can picture the dude saying it who butchered it. Don't even front.
Well, it's because I'll watch the Spanish broadcast of a Bayern match, and they say Polaco, referring to Robert Lewandowski.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did they say my name? What's going on?
I'm right here. Me? I gotta go on? Do you have an idea of who might win? Do you have a prediction?
I think Bayern is going to win this. I think they're going to win it fairly easily, mainly because of Alphonso Davies. I don't know who is going. Look,
Mbappe plays on the other side.
I am aware of that, man. Okay, very talented young man.
I mean,
as
I know
well.
Alphonso Davies is good, but can he handle both sides of the field at the same time?
I just think when it comes to who's going to make less mistakes, I feel like Bayern will make less mistakes, and they and if they do make mistakes, Alphonso Davies will be able to fix them. So
I think you're crazy. I think PSG is going to win, and I'm saying it's going to be 3-1.
Wow.
The final is this Sunday, by the way, at 3 p.m. And you can watch it on Fubo right here. You got to go nowhere.
Exactly. On through the end at 3 p.m. Eastern. Watch it right on Fubo if you have Fubo. So it's going to be very, very exciting. All right. So we'll be back with Jake Zivin, the voice of the Portland Timbers, right after this.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We want to bring with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right. You being Gully Squad. Thank you.
You right now listening.
you've contributed to this marketing campaign.
That's right. Thank you so much. And if you're listening and you're not in Gully Squad, I'm not going to say it's not thanks to you. I think you already know that. But you can. This can be thanks to you. All you got to do is join Gully Squad. It's mad simple. You know what I mean? Because what happens is you join Gully Squad, and guess what happens? We show up at your house. We said we don't care about the quarantine, you know what I mean? We show up at your house and we say, yo, thank you, and then that's it. We leave. It's very odd.
we break lockdown rules. That's how committed to you we are.
Right? where you live in Europe? Be there in a few hours, my guy.
Okay. Yo, Boris, open up the borders.
Yo, Latvia? All right. I might have to use points, but we're gonna get there.
Okay, we're un-Brexiting right now.
We've decided. We're here. What's good? Is this Europe or not? Yeah.
So, yes, join Gully Squad. Obviously, there's a lot of awesome perks and privileges. Obviously, we have
the hesitation you put on perks, man. Even I was like, "Ooh, what do we got?"
You can obviously the our Slack channel, our birthday parties, dope Zoom hangouts. It has it all. So
yeah, and pins and pop sockets and cool stuff. It's just one of those things. Like, yo, you're supporting us. It doesn't matter the level. You're gonna get some dope perks. You're gonna get a chance at exclusive content. You're gonna get a chance to hang out, chat with us, and yo, like the Slack channel, it's almost like just a big group chat. There's like people sharing food to do on the road once we get back on the road, people sharing pictures of the food they're cooking while they're on quarantine, people sharing pictures of pizza and I'm roasting it. We do other stuff than food, don't we, Christian?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, look, there's people sharing music that they enjoy. It's its own community of soccer fans that appreciate comedy and appreciate other things in life that they can share with each other, and it's really growing into something that's organic, that is not really about Christian and Alexis, and it's beautiful to see. So
I know it's bothering me. It should constantly be about us, but also they get a chance to be a part of the show. When we have guests, we ask them, what questions should we ask? When we say those are Gully Squad questions, yo, those are questions directly from that Slack channel from Gully Squad. So if you're a member of the Gully Squad and you're not in the Slack channel, get on that. What are you doing? There's exactly. Not a lot of you. There's like a few of you that
there's
haven't.
There's a few. There's almost like, I think maybe 30 or 40 people that are not in the Slack channel.
What a handful of people. Come on, get in here.
Get in there. Again, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and get on board, man, because you're missing out.
Hell yeah. Soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. All right, baby. Welcome back to the Cooligans right here, Living Room FC, where we bring you the stars. This is amazing, right? So we got to watch the MLS's back tournament, and every one of us, I mean, just from the producers to the folks who work at the stadium, we all picked Portland Timbers to win.
Oh, yeah. Not a one said any other team. It was pretty incredible.
Right? And I mean, we're NYCFC fans, so you would imagine we would have picked, but no, we had the foresight. No. Okay.
We are objective MLS fans.
100%. And we're geniuses, you know, and I think that's really important when you consider us. But we got to watch. But if you are a Portland Timbers fan, not only were you just as surprised as we were that they won, probably really excited, but also you're about to hear the guy that you get to listen to sometimes during the match, whenever Ross lets him get a word in or Nate lets him get a word in. He is your play-by-play caller for the Portland Timbers. So unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Jake Zivin, everybody.
Jake, what's up, man?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm a big fan of the show, longtime listener. Happy to be on. I joke with the Timbers PR guy, Kevin Acevedo, for like a year. I'm like, yo, if you can get me on the Cooligans, that's going to be like the pinnacle of my career. And Kevin finally came through. Shout out Kevin Acevedo, Jersey boy, who tells me it's Taylor Ham. That's what Kevin says.
So. Okay. Yes. Yeah, I wasn't even going to ask.
Jake, you know, you're already off to a good start. Okay.
Let's go. Kevin Acevedo.
Okay. So look, I think obviously the first question, I know as someone who has been with the Timbers for a while, covering the team, following the team, what was the feeling of, look, I don't know if people necessarily expected the Timbers to, I'm not even going to say that they didn't expect them to win, but that I don't know what the expectation was in particular amongst Timbers fans. I know everyone is at home. You can't really talk to everyone face to face. But what was the general feeling of just going into the MLS's back tournament?
No, did anybody know what to expect for any team? I don't know, right? I mean, I think it was just kind of wait and see what the soccer would look like, wait and see if the tournament would go on smoothly. And thankfully it did. It was a smashing success, I think, both on and off the field. The Timbers are a good tournament team. They always have been, at least kind of in this group. They've got experienced players that have made it to MLS Cups, that have won an MLS Cup. And so I think like the thought amongst Timbers fans is like, all right, they're there. They're playing well in the group stage. They're in the knockout round. They always usually do well in knockout rounds. And like, let's see how far it can go. And obviously they played well and they won the whole thing. They had like just the right game plan and mentality, I think, the whole way through.
Jake, this is important, right? Because we talked about this right after it happened. It was an incredible tournament. It was wildly exciting. Yeah. I absolutely loved it. I know fans of soccer that weren't MLS fans that fell in love with MLS because of just the insanity of the tournament, yeah, right? Yeah. And it's one of those things that we've grown to love. If you're an MLS fan, you understand anything can happen any week. But now you know, you understand the Portland Timbers fans. You understand the thought process around Portland. What does this mean? Because is this significant? Is this something that stole maybe a couple of games worth of time away from Portland because the matches from the knockout rounds weren't regular season? Where do the fans rate this? Because Christian and I can't really come to a consensus on what exactly this means. I'm sure it was great and it seemed like it was all exciting, but does this mean anything? Where do you put this on the pantheon of Portland Timbers success?
I think if you win, like, yeah, it means something, right? If you didn't win, the other 20, I guess 25 teams can say...
Well, that question was submitted by Orlando.
Right, exactly. It doesn't mean that. Don't worry, Orlando. It doesn't mean anything. But since they won, yeah, why not? I mean, I think, look, there's no Open Cup this year, so at the least it kind of replaces that. It's to me, I think it's more difficult than the Open Cup because you don't have like a team that gets a favorable draw with maybe some lower division teams or all home games where they can kind of ride that to the final or even to the semifinal when you only got to win two games. Everybody was on equal playing field. Nobody was playing scrubs, really. Like, we never saw that throughout the whole tournament. We thought maybe we'd see some rotation. We didn't really from any team. So you've got pretty much everybody playing at full strength. So why not be proud of it and make a big deal of it? That's what I think. I mean, there's no parade, obviously. And, you know, had this been different times, there may have been some sort of celebration. But I think the Timbers will be really proud of it. I think it shows something about them and the club. And like, why not? That's what I think, right? It's probably be the only one ever. It's going to be a trivia question for like 100 years, right? Yeah. Again, who won the MLS's back during that pandemic of 2020 that y'all all learned about in your history class, right? We're talking like in the year 2100, right? Like, who won the MLS's back tournament? It'll be the Portland Timbers, so that's cool.
Yeah. Do you put a star on the kit?
No, you don't put a star in the kit. No.
You should put something. Someone said put a little virus, virus emoji.
That's how Zarek Valentin, former Timber, right, tweeted that out right after the game. Like, I don't know. Yeah, no, I don't think so. But you display the trophy. There's like a trophy case in Providence Park. So I wonder if they'll put like a banner up, you know, like with like they, because they've got Western Conference champion, I think, up there in the.
Yeah, this is more like valid is, than that, right?
If you're gonna put that up. I think you should. Yeah,
they should put cough. MLS is back.
We survived.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to ask about was Diego Valeri and the fact that it's fascinating, especially he played so well in this tournament. He didn't necessarily start every game, but what was the feeling like of him possibly not coming back to the Timbers. And then I think, especially seeing this season and this tournament, just being like, well, we shouldn't have even had those conversations, right?
Man, it was kind of weird. Like we didn't know, and you know, you it was public, right? So we're reading the same articles that everybody else is, and thinking this would be weird if Diego Valeri wasn't on the Timbers. But on the other hand, like at some point that's going to happen, right? At some point the Diegos are not going to be playing for the Portland Timbers anymore, and it seems weird, but like that
blasphemy.
Yeah, right. Like
I thought it was Portland folklore that you had to have at least 2 to 3 Diegos on.
At all times. So they're going to have to sign somebody. Like you can, yeah. You go through transfer market to see they're going to sign next, you know, like, yeah. To sort by D, first name, yeah. Diego's. No, but yeah, I mean, it would have been weird. It would have been different. I think everybody like around the club, inside the club, outside of the club, just glad that it got done and that it got worked out between Diego and the team. Cause he means a lot. He means a lot on the field. I think he means even more off the field in the Portland community amongst the Timbers supporters. He's such an active person, in the community, such an active, kind of socially active person, an outspoken person. And so, yeah, it's good that he's back and he's still playing well, right? I mean, he still has it. Like, to me, he has an ability to take a moment as well as any player in MLS. He's not going to maybe boss a game for 90 minutes, but if the ball drops to him in the box in a decent spot, like, he'll score. And he just, you can't say that about 99% of MLS players. He takes those big moments well. And man, one of the main reasons that the Timbers won that tournament, for sure.
Yeah, he's amazing.
We are here with Jake Zivin, the voice of the Portland Timbers, who you can catch this Sunday in the match, Portland Timbers against the Seattle Sounders. That is 10 Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on 7:50 The Game on the radio. So make sure you catch Jake if you are in your car. Or if you prefer the radio call over the TV broadcast. I'm curious about your journey. We've spoken to a lot of announcers, and they always have a fascinating path, and how to some don't even start in soccer. You know, it's just like maybe they got it late in life or whatever. But what was your journey? Where are you originally from? And how did you end up working with the Portland Timbers?
Yeah, so I'm from Evanston, Illinois, just outside of Chicago, just north of Chicago. I've been a soccer fan my whole life, soccer player my whole life. Like, I was a terrible athlete, but I was the best, I guess, at soccer and played up until freshman year in high school, got cut. I was a goalkeeper, and I stopped growing at like 5'8½". So like, that was it, right? Like I was done. Sophomore year, I got cut. And so I started like broadcasting. We had a local TV station at our high school. So I called games. Our team made it to the state final. They were really good. So I got to call that game as like a high school senior. Went to college, was a math major at a small liberal arts school in Minnesota, but did like as much broadcasting as I could and got an internship with MLS when I was in college. I was a huge Chicago Fire fan growing up in Chicago. Yeah. They were my favorite team. And so got that internship with MLS in the broadcasting department, and that led to a job. I was operating the bug, which is like the scoreboard that you see on the screen of a game when you're watching. We call it the bug in the industry. Yeah. When I was a junior and senior in college, I would travel to wherever the ESPN game of the week was, and I would sit in the production truck and operate the bug for ESPN for that game of the week, which was like just the coolest thing. Like, everybody, like Friday afternoon, all my friends were getting ready to go party, and I'd drive up to the Minneapolis airport and fly to, you know, Salt Lake City to go to Rice-Eccles Stadium to send a TV show. Like, it was great. Like, it was missing out on like kind of part of the college life, but it was so cool. Like, I was hanging out with Rob Stone and Eric Winalda and Brandi Chastain like at dinner the night before the game, and I'm 20 years old. And
it takes one person really cool to hit a button every time somebody scores a goal.
Every time. I was good. I think I only messed up once, and it was the Eastern Conference Final 2006.
At least it wasn't a big game.
Nobody noticed. Apparently we're up 14-0.
I gave the Chicago Fire a goal, but it was controversial. It was Gonzalo Sagares was offside, like barely. And the Fire, it was one of those things where the Fire didn't even realize it for like 10 seconds, right? Like, they're celebrating. They thought they'd equalized late. And so the camera like didn't see the assistant referee. So I'm just going by the body language of the players. They're celebrating.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I click one, you know, it's 1-1. They come off. So
now with VAR, you got guys just like waiting right by the button. Like,
hold. They put their finger to their ear. Yeah, right before
those poor interns.
Man. But that was such a cool experience. And it was great. And then I graduated college, and it's time to try to find a job, and I wanted to be on air. I wanted to be a sports broadcaster. So like the easiest way to find a job at that point was the kind of local TV sports anchor reporter route. And so I got a job in Butte, Montana, my first job out of college, making, you know,
the big city,
man, the richest hill on earth, they call it, Butte. So I went to Butte. I knew nothing about Montana. I went to Butte right out of college and met my wife in Butte. She was at the competing station. We were both sports anchors. It worked out great. Ended up spending basically a little under 3 years in Montana. Most of it was in Missoula, Montana, which is where the University of Montana is. Really cool town. Awesome. So had a great time in Montana. Then came down to Eugene, Oregon. Same thing. Sports anchor for the ABC station in Eugene. Did that for about four and a half years, covering mostly like the Ducks football team. They were really good, so that was a good time. And but I always wanted to get back into soccer. MLS has just always been – soccer and MLS specifically have always been like my number one passion. While I was in Eugene, got connected with the Timbers. Their radio spot job was open, so I was able to do a season of Timbers radio while still working in Eugene. I would drive up for the games. Then the Timbers brought me up full time in 2015. Awesome. And at the end of that season, was made the TV voice. And yeah, so it
went in that journey. Because is Missoula, Montana still considered kind of Midwestern or no?
No.
That's like plains or whatever?
Missoula's right next to Washington. It's really close to Spokane, Washington. So Missoula's got more of a, actually kind of got a Pacific Northwest vibe to it.
When did you realize in your journey that you had a wild Chicago accent? Because I've met people from just outside Chicago, and that's the Staten Island of Chicago. If you live in Chicago proper, you don't really have an accent. Yeah. If you live in like, what's it, like Elmsford or whatever
Evanston's a little, so Evanston would be like, Evanston's North Shore. So it's maybe, Evanston's a pretty diverse town, but it's still a little more in like the posh area of like, it's okay, on the lake, right? So like it's got its posh parts. So to
I have family that lives in Oak Park now. Is that nearby?
Yeah, Oak Park's like the west side, straight west of Chicago. They're actually really similar towns. They're not quite next to each other, but they're both like pretty diverse socioeconomically and everything. And so anyway, as far as like Chicago suburbs go, they're pretty similar, but I don't know. It comes out at different times, right? Different words. Like when I say Chicago, that's, I think, when you hear it.
That's when I heard it. That's when I heard it. There. But I'm sure two beers in and you're like, oh, by there.
Exactly. After a game, right? So like midnight, like during, like I keep it good at like 8 p.m., but then midnight.
Is it like, do you have to have like the, especially working in news, did you have to like nail down the neutral sports anchor, the news anchor voice,
everybody I think you have a different voice when you know you're being recorded or like you're on air and you have to. But on the other hand, I personally am really against the like announcer voice. I mean, you'll see people, especially when they start out, they're trying to sound like whoever, right? Like Tom Brokaw or Stuart Scott or whatever. Like they're clearly, it's almost like they're doing an imitation of this really famous broadcaster. And to me, I think it always shows, like if you're not yourself, it's going to be really obvious to the viewers. So there's that balance of like being professional and projecting with energy and enunciating, but still being yourself. So it's not fake.
Yeah, I didn't realize we were supposed to have a different voice for recording, Christian. I think we messed up a little bit.
are you trying to say I was not professional, Jay?
Well, no. as soon as our producer says record, I'm like, hey, yo, what's up? So, like, that's me being like Frasier. You know what I mean?
Oh my god, yeah, professionalism is not why people come to this show.
It's almost we're the antithesis of it. We're the other side of the cookie. When you're calling a match, have you become more of a fan of the Portland Timbers? And that's always something that's really impressive to me. Christian and I have been given opportunities to call things, and sometimes a team we like is involved. And it is difficult to get some of the frustration. The excitement, I can be professional. The frustration shows immediately. And maybe it's because I'm from Newark, New Jersey, and all we have is anger, you know?
Oh, man, I'll say this. Like, so one, being in the local news, like, which is journalism, right? For like seven or 8 years, you get it drilled into you, especially if you're doing it right, to that you're not a fan of the teams you're covering, right? So I was covering, you know, like the Oregon Ducks at the height of their football time, but I'm not really a fan of them. Like, I'm glad that they're winning and going to national championship games and Rose Bowls because I get to go too, and those are really cool experiences to have personally and professionally. But you're not a fan. You're neutral because there's going to be a negative story about something, and you've got to cover that as a journalist. So I think I kind of brought that mindset into calling games. And I, personally, like, that's what I like. I'm not a fan of the huge homerism. And so I think we do a good job of, like, being relatively objective. But on the other hand, like, our audience when we're on local TV are all Timbers fans, right? Like, we're on Root Sports or Fox 12 Plus here. We're talking to Timbers fans. So everything is from a Timbers perspective. Like, if the Timbers go down 3-0, the call is the Timbers are down 3-0. It's not Houston is winning 3-0, you know, like, if you're calling neutrally. And so I've done games for Fox and ESPN, and I've done Timbers games for Fox and ESPN. And so then it's kind of like switching to the brain. Like, I did opening day, Minnesota, Portland on FS1. And so I'm in Providence Park. I'm in my normal booth, but I've got to switch the brain to, like, you know, it's Minnesota goes up 3-1. Right.
Yeah.
Whereas if that
you
were
can't be yelling,
TV,
we stuck today. Timbers, right?
Just smoking a cigarette. Like, oh, another day of the office.
I shouldn't have bet on him this week. Right. The kid's not going to get braces. Like, it happened in a day.
Oh, my God. We are here with Jake Zivin of the Portland Timbers, the voice of the Portland Timbers. And on a more serious note, we should talk about this, because we've spoken about it with some other guests. But obviously what's going on in Portland with a lot of the protests, and there was this video that was shared a lot of the Timbers Army. Shout out Timbers Army. We got the banner, the flag up there. The van was the wheels the tires were flattened by I guess police or who. I don't know exactly what's going on in Portland as far as, like, are this Portland police, is this some Trump militia or whatever's going on.
Someone in tactical gear slash the tires.
It's generally all pretty scary, but one thing is that we have seen is that Timbers Army has been on the front lines of these protests. But as someone who lives in Portland and sees what the soccer community does to try to help fight against social injustice and equality, what has that been like for you?
Yeah, like, I'll say this. One of the things that I love most about living in this city, and particularly being involved in the soccer world in this city, is how much the soccer and the soccer culture here is intertwined with social justice movements that I personally believe in. So, you know, it's right now obviously happening with the Black Lives Matter movement, but it's every kind of, not every, but it's many social justice movements and just community service projects that the Timbers Army and Timbers supporters in general, you know, it's not just the Army, though the Army is a large organized group that they're involved in. And they are, it's real, it's legitimate. You know, I mean, the Timbers Army is more than just a group of 6,000 plus people that show up to a soccer game and sing for 2 hours. They, and 107ists, which is kind of their official kind of charitable arm, you know, are involved in countless community projects in Portland. And right now a lot of that energy is obviously going towards the current social justice movement. And it's great. And it makes me really proud to be in this city particularly, right? And involved in this club, with this club, and in this soccer culture. And yeah, you know, you see it now, you see it for 20 years, right? I mean, that's who the Timbers Army are. Yeah. So it certainly makes me proud to be a part of the soccer world here in Portland.
That's dope. Yeah. When you look at sort of what your voice can sometimes lend to those types of things, just on your own personal sense, or just your connection to Portland Timbers and how the fans are, like, they just seem like they go out of their way to try to help make a change, regardless of the topic itself. Does that sort of inspire you to want to maybe get involved and to help out as well? Because when we went to Portland, we're like, oh, this isn't just like you guys donate some money to charity. Like, right, you're doing a lot of stuff. Like, you're doing more than I would do. You know what I mean? Like, sure. Can I just donate money to charity? Like, does that inspire you to also want to get more involved?
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, look, I feel like I'm always feeling like I should be more involved. And yeah, it does. It is inspiring. You know, and you mentioned I think that the voice of the Timbers Army is an influential and loud voice, and it's wonderful that they use it that way. And there's a lot of other voices, certainly, that are more, you know, influential than mine that are using them in positive ways. But, you know, the voice that Jeremy Bobasi has now shown to the country, because people that know Jeremy and have been around Jeremy know that he's been saying these things and he's been speaking out on these issues for a long time. But but now the country, and not just the soccer world, but I think all of this, the sports world is hearing his voice and how intelligent he is. And that's been inspiring to see and to listen to Jeremy on kind of now a national platform that he has. And same with the Timbers Army. Yeah, of course, you know, it inspires, makes me feel like you said, like, man, I need to be doing more also, you know, because of how much they do in the Timbers Army and the people involved in the club. And it's with the support of the club as well. I mean, I'm not saying every single action is, but are coming now is Stand Together Week, which is the Timbers' long-running, like, week of community action. And usually there's over 100 service projects going on throughout the week with players and coaches and staff involved with members of the community. It's going to be different this year because, you know, you can't have 50 people standing next to each other working on a project anymore. Yeah. But that kind of both virtual and some in person that week is starting up at the end of this week. And it's great to be again, part of a culture where that's such an important part of it. It's not just about who's scoring more goals. It's about more than that. The world, you know, outside of soccer as well.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about Jeremy Obobese is that it does take a lot of courage to do what he is doing, to speak out and be so vocal, you know, also write incredible articles on the issues that he is passionate about. But then on top of that, he's doing amazing on the pitch, right? Yeah. Like, he's not necessarily distracted when it's time to do his job.
And it almost gives him more power.
Gio talked to us about that before the tournament started. He said that he has seen, like, maybe even a little more confidence in Jeremy. And you know, the leadership that he's taking off the field, translating on the field as well. This is before the tournament, you know. So he's like, and he said the same thing about Eric Williamson, who's been involved as well. And, like, then we saw the tournament that those two guys had, right? So, you know, whether or not that is a main reason or a main factor in it, like you said, he's certainly not distracted. He's playing great on the field and doing great things off the field.
Speaking of Gio, what's it like? Like, we get to see, it seems like he's either a golden Labrador, right? Or a pit bull. He's like one of the two. He's either really excitable or just angry at everyone in front of him. You get to talk to him more than we do. What is the general sense, and how exciting is it to have to get to cover someone who emotes way more than your average manager?
Yeah, right. Man, like, his goal reactions are great, right? We've learned on our local broadcast, like, have a camera on Gio.
Gio cam.
Gio is awesome. And when he was hired, you know, we text around, and, you know, people who know Gio, what's Gio like? Everybody said, you're going to love him. He's a great guy. And I don't think I've heard anybody say a bad word about Giovanni Savarese as a person, right? I mean, you might have people questioning coaching ability, whatever, but as a person, and nobody's questioning that now, I don't think, but as a person, nobody's had a bad word to say about him. And he's so warm. Like, he treats everybody like family. I don't know if you guys interacted with him at all in New York. Obviously, when he was with the Cosmos, but
no, we haven't.
You guys would love him. Like, he brings everybody in like family. And so, you know, when you going back to what we talked about being a fan, like, we try not to be fans of the team, but we, you know, you root for guys that you have a relationship with and that you like. So when the Timbers win this tournament, I'm happy for Gio because, you know, he's really good to us, and he's around, we're around him a lot of times, and we have a really good relationship, and same with the players. So, man, Gio's awesome. He really is a pleasure to work with, and we're lucky that we get to work with a guy like him.
Yeah, he seems to be a blast to be friends with. We got more.
I'm sure it would be. Yeah, haven't had like a night drinking red wine or going down like into Little Italy. Next time they're making a road trip to New York, like, go to his spot with him and his crew. And man, no,
let's do it. Yeah, we'll be there whether we get
invited or not. You
guys got to
do that when he's in New York. Yeah, take him to, like, do your pizza thing with him.
100%.
It'd be perfect. Yeah, he's great.
All right, everybody. Thank you again for joining us on another episode of The Cooligans. Thank you, Jake Zivin, for joining us as well. We appreciate your time. Is there anything, Jake, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
I mean, you know, if you want to listen to our broadcasts, this Sunday, Timbers Sounders, we're back at it. As you guys mentioned, 7:50 The Game in Portland, 7:50thegame.com. Then we're on TV for the next five, so that'll be exciting. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Zivin, not the most exciting follow, but, you know, everybody needs a followers, right? And vote, I would say. That's what I would say if I got a second. Everybody vote Vote early. Yeah. Make sure your vote counts in November. It's very
exactly. Yes. And especially in Oregon, where you can vote by mail. It's not an issue.
Yeah. No, I've been doing it for a long time and it works really well. It's smooth.
Yeah. The post office is not evil, everybody. They're doing their best.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Thank you again for joining us. Make sure you follow at Fubo Sports on all social media channels. Follow at Soccer Cooligans and make sure to subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. So, again, Jake, thank you so much for joining us. Let us sign off the way we normally do. So, with that said, for Jake Zivin, my name is Cristian Polanco.
Oh, I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!